browse and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a serious eschatological prophetic thought today. It is a fact in the scripture that Ezekiel 38 and 39, we see Russia with 5 Islamic controlled nations coming against the nation of Israel. We're witnessing, as I've said now for the past 3 years, with what has taken place in Ukraine, with the war with Russia against Ukraine. We're witnessing what I've said for 3 years is the beginnings, the fanning of the flames of World War III. The Bible calls it the Battle of Gog and Magog. It is the Battle of Russia. It's the Russian invasion of Israel, leading 5 Islamic nations. Those nations that Russia will be leading is Iran, which is old Persia, Turkey, Germany, which is found in the scripture in Ezekiel 38 and 39. We find also Libya and Syria. Those nations, ladies and gentlemen, are lining up today. We're witnessing and watching that. Over the recent years, Russia and Iran and China and other Middle Eastern nations, ladies and gentlemen, have formed pacts and joining together. In fact, I find it fascinating, if I can throw this little parenthetical footnote in, I find it fascinating that Erdogan out of Turkey less than a year ago called for all Islamic nations, all Islamic people to come against Israel and the Jewish people wherever you find them around the globe. And yet now we find Turkey inserting itself into the negotiations for peace and the settlement of the war between Ukraine and Russia. I find it fascinating. I don't know how they feel they have the authority to say, let's talk peace. They do not know how to have peace. They certainly do not want peace with Israel at all, but we're finding the galvanization of these nations coming together. Ladies and gentlemen, the Iranian-made drones are now the major tool that Putin is using, some 355, according to the latest article of the barrage against Ukraine. I'm looking at headline. Trump calls Putin absolutely crazy, following Russia's latest barrage on Ukraine. Trump told reporters Sunday that Putin is killing a lot of people. I don't know what is happening to Putin, Trump said. I've known him for a long time, always gotten along with him, but he's sending rockets into the cities and killing people, and I don't like that at all. According to President Trump, that's Trump's statement. When asked if he would consider more sanctions on Russia, Trump said, absolutely. Then in the middle of this article, says Russia hits Ukraine with the largest drone and missile attacks of the war for the past 3 years. Trump went further into a social media post Sunday saying Putin has gone absolutely crazy and was needlessly killing a lot of people. The Ukrainian Air Force and the Russian attacks was the largest aerial assault of the war, with Russia's unleashing 355 drones and 9 cruise missiles on dozens of Ukrainian cities, including the capital, Kiev. At least 12 people were killed and dozens others injured in that individual single attack, ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing the escalation. And with that escalation, we're witnessing Iran, the key player, because it's Iran that's building the drones and providing them for Russia to fire into the heart of Ukraine. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline, says the DHS chief in Jerusalem, quote, Trump will never accept a nuclear-armed Iran. Iran is right now on the cusp, if not already, I believe, I've said for years, in fact, I believe they already have a nuclear device. I believe the only thing that's restraining Iran is that they're waiting until they can develop a missile that would carry it a long range, and a long range meaning that it could hit America or any other place around the globe. I believe that's the only thing that's holding them back. I believe they have the nuclear device already. That was given opportunity and authority to do so through Obama, and then escalated through the Biden administration. And now Trump is in trying to squelch what has been taking place. And by the way, I commend Trump for thinking that somehow, some way, he could have peace talks or settlement communication with Iran to get them to decide, well, you know, President Trump, I believe that you're right. We're going to stop trying to build the nuclear weapon. We're going to stop our nuclear trek to be able to control the world simply by having the red button, if you please, under our thumb. I do not believe that will ever take place. Trump is trying, and that's wonderful, but they've already said that they are not going to give up their journey to try to accomplish that. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing the hand of God being fulfilled. Looking at the headline, the crucial but inevitable player in Trump's Iran nuclear negotiation. Why is the Islamic Republic talking to the U.S. when its supreme leader publicly claimed doing so is neither rational nor honorable? Let me read that again. Why is the Islamic Republic talking to the U.S. when its supreme leader publicly claimed that doing so is neither rational nor honorable? And talking about getting Iran to the table, getting them to agree to give up their journey to develop nuclear weapons. And yet the head of the Iranian regime, the religious leader that's the head of the regime, said that it is neither rational nor honorable. In other words, we're not going to negotiate. We're not going to negotiate. You understand, when Obama and the Biden administration put together the nuclear weapons deal with Iran, that they provided billions of dollars back to Iran, the billions of dollars, and gave them authority to continue to develop nuclear weapons, but they could not do a breakout, as it is called, into owning, controlling a nuclear weapon for at least 10 years. What they were doing, the Biden administration and the Obama administration, they were doing that to get it off their hands, off their plate, kicking the can down the road, and paying Iran billions of dollars that was being held by America since 1979 with the fall of the Shah of Iran. We need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, what is taking place and how it is fulfilling what God's word says shall take place. Looking at the headline, says Iran finally at the tipping point. In last year's address, Speaker Lewis, the supreme leader, I call him Cockamamie, drew a telling parallel between the year 1403 in the Iranian calendar and 2024 and 2025 and the year 1981, the 13th year 1360, stating, the year 1403 was full of turmoil, like the challenges we face today during a difficult and painful time for us. And he goes on to talk about the different presidents that had dealt with Iran and how they were told a lie, believed a lie, and as a result of it, was harmful for America. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead, Ray, with your question or comment.
Good evening. Good day, Dr. Youngblood. What about the escalation of whoever it was, I assume it was Ukraine, attacking Putin's helicopter? And all this escalation that President Trump's talking about, it was since then.
Well,
there wasn't any retaliation.
One of the things, I believe there will be retaliation. One of the things, I believe, if you could use this statement, I believe the dumbest thing that Vladimir Zelensky could have done would be try to attack Putin directly, try to assassinate him in the air in his helicopter, and then miss. I don't think there could have been anything that would be any more dumb or stupid than that. If you're going to do that, make sure that you have your aim right. But right now, I think it's going to infuriate Putin. I think it's going to cause Putin to back away from any discussions with President Trump in relationship to peace talks or trying to settle it. I believe it's going to infuriate Putin to the point that he will make a determination. We're going to fire more missiles, more drones into the heart of Ukraine. I believe it will escalate the war rather than any way try to diminish it. I don't know personally of anything Trump could say or do that would cause Putin now to settle down, as I'd call it, come to the table, and let's talk with Zelensky. I believe there's animus between the two men. I believe there's hatred. The only thing that I see, Ray, that could be a deterrent for the rapid escalation of this war that's fomenting right now and has been for 3 years in Ukraine is the fact that America, now has the agreements from Ukraine to control the rare minerals. And all of those rare mineral mines are lining the border between Ukraine and Russia. I believe that's the only deterrent that we will find that Trump will be able to use and say, you can come so far, but you can't go any further because you'll be interfering with American interest, and we will retaliate. I believe that is the only potential retarding of the development that we see in this war. But going back to your question, it's going to be interesting to see in the next few days. I believe that actually took place about the 20th, and it's just now 20th of this month, and it's just now coming to the forefront and the head as far as news is concerned of what is taking place. But it's going to be interesting to see the fallout of that. Ray, you there? All right, I believe we have Davis on the line. Davis, go ahead with a question or comment, please.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. I tell you, I believe right now we can see the hand of God. He is in complete control, and he's putting the chessboard up to show us what's fixing to happen to the world and to his people. And I'm going to say what you say. Keep looking up, because our redemption is on the way. And I'm going to... our calendar and our time frame is not God's time frame. But I'm going to venture this. I'm going to say that 98% of Christian people today do not even know what tomorrow is on our calendar. If you will look at our calendar, and you will see that is the ascension of Christ. I believe God is on the way, and it's not going to be long before the church is taken out of here.
Amen. Well, Davis, one of the things that I enjoy, my wife is a theological professional in the standpoint of the time frame and the eschatological time frame that we're in. I believe the world will wrap up at the 7,000 year, God's perfection in his timing. I believe we're looking at a universe now that's about 6,000 years old. And if we're about 6,000 years on the calendar, and if the millennial reign is 1,000 years, that's 7,000 years, we're living in that little parentheses of that age that's called the church age, and that could end at any time based on the calendar of God. And I believe,
Amen. As you said,
we can look up, lift up our head, for our redemption draweth nigh.
Amen.
And I believe that it's time Christians wake up, sit up, be heard, be seen. I get a little angry, a little bent out of shape with pastors that have not got a spine to stand and speak the truth. They're afraid that somebody might like them. They're afraid that some Democrat in their church might stop tithing. They're afraid that somehow, some way, the media might want to attack them. I believe it's time that we get out of the lackadaisical mindset, that we just leave the world alone and the world will leave us alone. As Christians, we need to stop being silent. We need to stand up, recognize what God is doing, and keep looking up. By the way, I add to that, stop looking for signs and listen for the sound, because when that trumpet sounds, I'm out of here.
I'm waiting to hear the sound. I'm not looking.
Absolutely.
Can I amen what you just said?
Amen. Well, brother, I'm thankful for you. Thank you so much for your call. You always add to the broadcast. Thank you so much. God bless you.
God bless you.
I believe we have Greg on the line. Greg, go over the question or comment, please.
You know, it's amazing to watch these things coming together. It's you know, as horrific as war is, and it's always horrific, the realization that these things must be, these things are foretold before, for 2,600 plus years now, we have a the back of the book written in advance, of course, both Daniel 600 years plus before and the Revelation text about 90 A.D., But this has been like Ezekiel, it's huge. In any case, it's been foretold, and the pieces are coming together. And as believers, you know, we can and ought to be getting excited about the Lord's soon return. And I suppose so many folks get the idea that we're in control, that somehow or another we've got a big piece that we can play in this. And I have news for you. No matter how much humanity may wiggle and may squirm, the reality of the fulfillment of prophecy will absolutely confront them at a certain point. As we see Israel perhaps any day going and cleaning the clock of Iran, we know what how that's going to turn out. As far as the result will likely be that Iranian, Persia, a rush on Israel, their number one ally in the world, Russia. Matter of fact, more out of the closet than it's ever been before. Mm-hmm. In the past 6 months, the communications have been explicitly clear. They're joined at the hip, and they're working together in unity, and not just to destabilize America, but to assault Israel. And you know, this taking of land by Russia as they, you know, invaded Georgia. That was moved to the south toward Israel. As they took over, you know, Crimea. Now as they've invaded Ukraine, each one of these are strategic points. You know, Crimea gives them more access to the Mediterranean, a potential Western strike on Israel, and you know the players are all on the board now, and they're all active right now. And it's a beautiful thing to me. It's encouraging to me, and it ought to petrify those that do not know the Lord. And as we share these things, it's again not to scare folks, but to prepare folks, realizing that the opportunity is short, the days are short. And you know that's true. We just saw Phil Robertson go on to be with the Lord, 79 years old, I believe. Mm-hmm. The reality is, if you live to be 150. It's the scripture says life is but a vapor. The reality is it is a short life. You ought to be planning for, looking forward to eternity and laying up those treasures there in glory rather than so much focus on the today and building up the bank accounts. I'm perplexed by the likes of George Soros. Of course, he has more money than 10 generations could spend in their lifetimes. And he's still trying to stack it up. Man, he is a miserable soul, and it's. But that is the lost world. Literally, if you don't have the hope of that eternal life with Jesus, then it would be real easy to fall into that trap, and to try to build some legacy that may last a generation. Etched in stone, you know, some have said, and even etched in stone comes crumbling down. The only thing that lasts are those investments poured into eternity.
Absolutely. Well stated. And that's the result of where we need to be when we look at what God is doing and God's timepiece, God's time clock, and looking at it eschatologically speaking to realize where we're headed as a world. And the more we see this taking place, the more we need to depend on the Lord and recognize that God is sovereign, God is in control. Greg, one other question that figures into this equation. We're looking at Yale University, Harvard, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Harvard, in particular, that has filed suit against the Trump administration because the Trump administration, by executive order, cut off billions of dollars being given bankroll to Harvard. Now the Trump administration is asking for a list of all of the foreign students and where they're coming from. One of the things that the Trump administration has discovered, that with these major prestigious universities, about 60% of their endowment funding coming from China and from Islamic jihadist nations, and they're controlling our universities. So therefore we see these Islamic jihadists with the signs out picketing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What should the Trump administration do? Should we simply lay down and go to sleep? Should we play that that's not happening? What is the cause and effect? Are we witnessing the fact that in America we're training jihadists, and now as we see this coming to a tipping point on a global basis, international basis, are we facing more danger internally because of having gone awry with that? What should we do? How should the Trump administration handle it? What should be done with the colleges and universities? Should the tax money be cut off, et cetera, et cetera? Speak to that for a moment.
Well, just on the tax money, and we'll back into this thing on the tax money, the notion of putting billions of dollars of not liquid taxpayer cash, we're borrowing money. We're borrowing money from Social Security. We're borrowing money from Japan. We're borrowing money from China. We're borrowing money from Russia. And your great-great-great-grandkids will have to pay it back. You know, actually, that's not going to happen. We're at a bankruptcy-level event already. And in the midst of bankruptcy, we're running the credit card in order to give particularly Harvard $2 billion, over $50 billion in an endowment there, and then to realize that they have such great, huge, massive foreign influence in Harvard, in Columbia, and Penn State, where they can get $100 million from China to do the Penn Biden Center. And then, of course, that's where they found a stack of those top-secret documents, you know, shoved in a closet that who knows who had access to. We have been invaded, and what they've done is they've chosen to invade through the colleges, and they've chosen to indoctrinate through the colleges the next generation. What are they indoctrinating them with? Well, hate America, embrace communism. That's why your kids are going off to college, and they're coming back little red communists, mm-hmm. because that's what they've been taught, and that's where the money comes from, is from these radical America-hating, God-hating, communist-loving, ideologically driven radicals. The professors are built on that construct, and the bank accounts are built on that construct. What do you expect, folks? And it's literally using a Hitlerian. Everything gets compared to Hitler. I'm sorry, folks. But it's grabbing the next generation is what they're
well,
doing.
Well, when you alluded to Hitler, that was the early 30s, where Hitler started to rise on the scene, and he was doing the very same thing. We're watching that same playbook because the same mentality. It is of the father, the devil. And they're going to do the same thing with the same modus operandi that Hitler used in it. My only concern is how far will we allow this to go? And I'm saddened to see that so far the courts and the Democratic Party, the socialist Marxist media included, all against Trump, and somehow, some way, saying that it's their freedom of speech, it's their religious liberties, these colleges and universities, that they have the right to do what they're doing. They do not. We're developing, breeding and developing and raising up those that, if it were to come to a civil disobedience on a national basis, that they would be against America, against America's leadership. They already have shown they're totally against God, against anything that's called biblical truth, because we're sending, and by the way, I believe it's Harvard, that right now the tuition is about $90,000 a year for a Harvard student. And yet parents are working themselves to death to send kids to a university that they want a prestigious credential, and it destroys the mind, because these universities are teaching the students to hate God, to hate the family, and to hate America. And that's what we see where they're holding the signs up that from the river to the sea, Palestine must be free. They're saying kill the Jews, destroy the Jews. We're witnessing, as one article recently said, we're witnessing the replay of the early 30s with that of Hitler, and it taking place in America and not in Germany. So, Greg, the bottom line is, when we see these things taking place, then there are two or three questions come to mind. Should Trump simply cut off all tax money to all of these universities and let the tuition and their endowment funds handle it. And then the other question that is a nexus for me, will Israel bomb Iran's nuclear facilities before there's an opportunity for that to happen otherwise? Those two questions, and then we'll wrap up.
I suspect any day now you'll see Israel go completely unleashed on Iran, and that, you know, it's going to be a very interesting day. But I think that that will be a potential catalyst to turn the ire directly against Israel, all the focus directly against Israel, and that will be the lead up to the Battle of Gog and Magog. And as far as what Trump should do, absolutely, that the reality is the courts have been used politically, and it's time for the president to, in obedience to the Constitution and in defense of our nation, to say adios, to kick out any foreign national that's in this country seeking the destruction of this country, to choke off the fuel supply of money to any institution that seeks to undermine or to destroy this country. To let it go on is completely insane. But for the believer, we need to be focused on, as much as there will be wars, there are wars coming. The Antichrist is coming, but our focus ought to be Jesus Christ is coming again. That's the focus. That's the exclamation point at the end of the sentence. And we as believers, knowing time is short, should be sharing with our friends, our neighbors, our family members, that they too could be with us in glory.
Absolutely. Well stated, Greg. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is Greg Youngblood, one of our four sons. He's in the southern tip of heaven, better known as the northeast portion of Tennessee. Greg, what's the weather like today?
It's another beautiful day in paradise.
It is a wonderful thought, Greg, as we touched on and tried to cover for our listeners. It's a wonderful thought to know that God is in control. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to be amazed. We don't have to be frightened. We can be absolutely peaceful and still in the realization and recognition that God's sovereign hand is in control of this old world. As the old song used to be, he's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole wide world in his hand. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. Greg, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to talk with us today. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. We're looking forward to you joining us next time as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM. Are you searching for good, conservative, theologically sound Bible books, commentaries, and teaching materials? Conservative Theological University has about 6,000 titles and about 120,000 volumes available. Shop today at conservative.edu. Scroll down to